from Romans 13:13. Let us conduct ourselves becomingly as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its lusts. The Spirit of the Lord has been unfolding a truth to us in our life as a fellowship, which I believe will be absolute dynamite when the day comes that this truth is actualized in our daily living. The truth is that we have been called as sons and daughters of heaven to function and spend ourselves and live in two places in our life here in this world. First, we are to live in the blazing, unshielded presence of the living God. And secondly, we are called to dwell in the unmodified presence of human anguish among people who in some way are hurting and know it. A lot of people want to have, you know, they want to walk in the presence of God, but they don't want to get near human pain. They want to talk about healing, but they don't want to talk about or get near the pain and the problems. But when the day comes that we as believers together, as a people, are living and spending ourselves in these two places, we will see the kingdom of God as we have never seen it before, and we will have the power to minister that kingdom so effectively that chains will break, captives will be set free, and the eyes of those who are hungering and longing for God will see him. But it's so much easier to talk about coming into the presence of God than to actually get there. And to truly reach out and touch the human anguish that afflicts our race, all of us, in the places where it's really getting to people, involves a great deal more than walking through a convalescent home once in a while or sitting in a Skid Row bar. In order to come into God's presence, and in order to touch the human heart where it hurts, we ourselves have to have a covering, as the Old Testament saints would talk about. For instance, in his mercy and for our protection, God has set an angel with a flaming sword at the doorway to the garden. Because if we were to go in there in our natural state, our very bodies would be seared with the intensity of the light. And our minds would wither and our spirits would faint. When Adam and Eve became conscious of the fact that they were naked after they ate the forbidden fruit, the first thing they did was cover themselves. And then when the Lord began to draw near to them in the cool of the day in the garden, they realized that the covering that they had put on themselves was not enough, and they ran into the bushes, so to speak. And if you're having difficulty getting near to God, consider that it may possibly be that God, in his mercy, is holding you at a distance until you are properly covered so that you can safely come into his presence and boldly approach his throne of grace and find help in time of need. The Old Testament saints understood this very clearly. They would never even dare to approach Yahweh without some kind of covering. A kafar, as they called it, an atonement. And they knew that an atonement had to be blood. And you and I cannot possibly draw near to God in a real way without that covering. Moreover, God, in his mercy, is also watching over our movements out in the world among men. Because the minute we begin to, in fact, expose ourselves to human need, we instantly come under attack from every direction. Physical danger, hatred, discouragement, the temptation to jump down into the mud bath again ourselves, For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and world rulers of this present darkness. And it's necessary, if we're going to exercise any kind of effective healing ministry among men, that we ourselves are shielded, protected, covered. There's no way we're going to draw near to God or draw near to the heart of human need without that covering. The priestly robes that were worn in the Old Testament were symbolic of this. You know, and people get all upset about the fact that the priests got all dressed up in the Old Testament, as though that was something terrible, but it wasn't. They weren't getting all dressed up to prove that they were priests. They were wearing this clothing at the command of God as a sign that they had to come into his presence clothed with a righteousness which was not their own. They also wore this garb as they came out from God's presence and ministered God's mercy to the people. Now the covering, which was symbolized by the Old Testament priestly robes, became real in Israel the day that Jesus came up out of the Jordan River from his baptism and began to minister as the Messiah. Jesus was experiencing then a threefold covering as he went off into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan and then to come forth and reveal God to Israel. He was covered, first of all, with the water of his baptism. He who was without sin and yet became sin for us and commanded that he be baptized to fulfill all righteousness. Also, he was covered with the Holy Spirit, who came down upon him as he came up out of those waters in the form of a dove and was the anointing oil, making him the Christ, the Messiah. He was also covered with blood, his own blood. And that blood was effective every time he forgave sin or touched somebody for healing. For he entered once for all into the holy place, not with the blood of calves or goats, but with his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. So covered, our Lord came as the Son of Man into the presence of the Holy God for us, came out from God's presence to minister as he does right now, eternal peace for those who will receive it. But what about our covering? What do we get put on ourselves as we approach God and as we move out among men? We also need the water, which is a symbol of our death in Christ. And we need the Spirit, who is the sign of our life in Christ. And we need the blood, our forgiveness in Christ. And this threefold covering actually becomes ours when we take Jesus himself to be our covering, his person. And most of us have no conception of how extremely we can be, in fact, enveloped in the reality of Jesus. And how necessary it is for us to have this. You know, we can in fact be dead, hid with Christ and God, so that our lives are really wrapped up in him before God and man. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. She is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We can put on Christ in this way. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Now, this covering, this enveloping ourselves, wrapping ourselves in the reality of Christ, is not something which we obtain by some mysterious spiritual exercises or long periods of fasting or reading certain wonderful books on the deeper spiritual life. But rather, this is obtained by an act of will, an act of faith, in each of four situations we find ourselves in. And we do it. We put on the Lord Jesus Christ. First, we need to cover ourselves with Christ as we draw near to the Father. Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." And he's not just talking about coming to the Father after our death, or when the trumpet sounds, but now. If you ask the Father anything in my name, he will give it to you. And to ask something of the Father in Jesus' name is to come under the covering of Jesus, to be wrapped in him, enveloped in his light. Lord God, I make bold to draw near to you, not on the strength of anything that I am or have done, but on the strength of your Son, Jesus, my Lord. Covering myself in his righteousness, I now make bold to ascend into the deep heaven, into the place of eternal light, and worship your holiness, and lay my petitions before you. And the more totally we are soaked, permeated with the Spirit of Christ, the more direct and swift is our approach to the Father. We also need to cover ourselves with the Christ as we move out among human beings, among each other, and among people out there in the world beyond. When I came to you, brethren, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God in lofty words or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul approached those Corinthians absolutely wrapped up in Jesus. The crucified Jesus, this was an obsession with him. This was a passion with him. You know, you could say this man's out of his mind. So extreme was this, and from this obsession flowed life. Everywhere Paul went, and every one of his epistles is filled with this. Every one of them. He makes this clear, you know, that it's impossible to move out among men with any kind of effectiveness in our ministries or any kind of safety from the fear of being clobbered by Satan, except as we're covered with Christ. I am crucified with Christ, he says in Galatians. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. For me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain, he says in Philippians. In Colossians, he says, you are dead, your life is hid with Christ in God. And the problem with many of us is that we don't take that covering with us as we leave the assembly. Maybe we experience a taste of it when we're, you know, at the Lord's table, but then when we go out, we leave it behind. We don't take it into our jobs, or into our homes, or when we're driving down the highway, or visiting in the hospital. And we need it. We talk about the armor of God in Ephesians 6. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What is the armor of God? You know, having your loins girt about with truth, the truth is Jesus. Putting on the breastplate of righteousness, who's that but Jesus? Taking the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, feet shod with the gospel of peace. All of these things are Jesus himself. We have to be under and enveloped and wrapped in the person, the presence, the living reality of Jesus himself, that we then can go out with something real to offer the people, to practice our presence day and night, everywhere we are. We also need to take to ourselves the covering of Christ when our minds come under the assault of temptation, which they always do. Not in reveling in drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its lusts. And the mind loves to make provision for the flesh, to think ahead, to scheme, to plan, to worry, to fret, you know, to fantasize, to dream up all kinds of good and bad. It only takes maybe 5 minutes and we're 2 million miles away from anything that's any good. When this happens, it's necessary for us to clothe our minds in the sanity which is Jesus himself, to bring some kind of order into our mental chaos. And this is possible. It can be done. It's a matter of choosing his presence instead of these flaky thoughts we indulge in. Lord, come into my mind. Flood me with your light. Fill me with reality again. Take me away from these inmost lies. And finally, we need, and nobody will do this for us, we have to do it ourselves, to clothe ourselves in the covering of Christ as we approach the real possibility of our own death, which can come at any time. You know, there's been so much talk, and it's true, the Lord's return is near. You know, but don't forget, your death might precede it. There's no guarantee that it won't, or mine. For we know that if this earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Here indeed we groan and long to put on our heavenly dwelling, so that by putting it on we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, this body, we sigh with anxiety, not that we should be unclothed, but that we should be further clothed, so that this mortal might be swallowed up in life, so that this naked spirit might be clothed in a new body, which is the body of Jesus himself. So that the same covering that takes me up into the presence of God, takes me safely out among human beings with something good to give them, protects my mind against the lies that constantly lambast it, now also takes me through the door of death. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And when I take to myself the covering of Christ, the anxiety and the dread and the terror of death leaves me, truly, now. And I begin to see death as something which is far better than what I now have. And I begin to see that with my heart, not just with my mouth, that I might depart and be with Christ, says Paul, which is far better. So, if it should be the Lord's will that we remain until the King comes back, good. But if it should be the Lord's will that we should be taken in the meantime, praise God, that we might be, provided we're covered, clothed upon with life. So in order for us to live any kind of life that makes any sense at all, we have to take the covering that we might clothe ourselves. God, help us to do that today with the presence of his Son, that we might truly come up into his presence and touch his throne, that we might truly go out among men and women and touch their broken hearts with healing, that we may conquer the enemy as he attacks our mind, and that we may approach our coming death with pure joy. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died. Your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just ask that today you would deliver every one of us from the deception of thinking we can be spectators in all this, and the fear of jumping into the pool, and enable us all, Lord God, to let go of ourselves and get into this life to which you've called each one of us here. Father, I ask that you'd especially move upon any man or woman, a young person, right now who stands at the very door of the kingdom and needs to do that thing today. Anybody who longs to repent and come back in again. Father, I just pray that nothing will stand in the way and that they will take care of this business before they leave this place today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.